darkness, and he shines forth to the Gentiles. And we celebrate that this morning, the season of light. Father, we thank you that you are the light of the world. We thank you for John 1:5, that the light is shines and the darkness shall not prevail against it. I pray, God, that you would anoint your word as it's read, as it's sung, as it's declared this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, that nothing can extinguish you and can extinguish your light. King of glory, come. Breathe on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Prepare our hearts to worship with the prelude. Greater than all of our sin. Amazing grace. We're going to, Chuck Novak is going to read Psalm 93, 1 through 2. Please stand if you are able for a call to worship this morning. Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2.
The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting.
Amen. We're going to sing the hymn of worship. King Jesus, all glorious, our victory will win. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. You are the eternal one. Lord, I thank you that you transcend time. And Lord, that you're the Alpha and you're the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the first and the last. Lord, you're everything in between. And Lord, as we live in time, Lord, I thank you that you hold us and you are with us, that you are Emmanuel, that you are the Holy One, that you are the King victorious. And we praise you and we bless you and we honor you. Lord, there are a lot of needs this morning. There are a lot of people that need healing. There are a lot of people that need a touch from you. And I thank you that you know everyone, that their very hairs of their head are numbered. Father, we pray this morning for Bob Dial. We pray, Jesus, you would bless him, that you would heal him in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for JT Ingram with health issues. We ask your healing on JT. We pray, Lord, your strength on Bobby as she cares for him. And Lord, we just ask healing. We pray for Joe Davis, Father, that you would bless him and comfort him, heal him and restore him. Pray for Leslie Anderson, Lord, and the children that she's caring for, that whole household. Father, we just speak healing to those little babies, Lord, healing to those little ones. And we just say, peace be still in the tummies of those children. And Lord, we ask for healing and strength to come to that family in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Pam Pereira, who started treatment for lung cancer. And Lord, we ask your healing on Pam in Jesus' name. Father, she has some decisions that she has to make regarding care and doctor and where she's going to go. And Lord, I pray that you would give Pam wisdom, clarity of mind, discernment, courage. We pray for Don, Jesus, that you would touch and you would heal him. Wisdom for Don, God. Peace to be upon him in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for the Nora Fan family who passed away. We pray for Nora's sister, Nancy. God, comfort. Surround her with your peace and your presence in Jesus' name. We pray for the Richard Normer family, Father, who he died. And God, we ask your healing, comfort. We speak your word over the Normer family, Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We pray for Marianne Showalter. Father, we say peace be still over Marianne and her mind, her body. God, we speak comfort. Comforter, come. Prince of Peace, come. We pray peace over Marianne in Jesus' name. We pray for Shirley Burmeister, Jesus, that you'd bless strength to those lungs, strength to her organs, strength to her body. We pray for Dawn Burmeister, Jesus, that the Comforter, Lord, would just surround him with your peace, your arms, your comfort, in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for all those that are suffering with COVID. We pray, God, for Robert with pneumonia, septic pneumonia. And we speak to Robert's lungs right now, and we say, be whole and healed. All inflammation, go now, in Jesus' name. That you would heal Robert, that you would restore him, that you would bless him. We speak strength to Robert, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Martha Dean. It's good to see her, God, and we just ask healing. All cancer cells in her bladder, God, we just speak peace to her bladder, comfort to come, healing to come, strength to come to Martha. God, we thank you for her, and we bless her and her family in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Liz Simpson, diagnosed with early stage breast cancer. Father, we pray wisdom for her doctors, and Lord, we just pray for Liz that healing would come, cancer would go in her body in Jesus' name. Bless Liz. We pray for Bonnie Williams, God, your sustaining grace on her. We pray for Joe, Janet Kirk's brother. Father, we thank you for 3-pound weight gain during chemo. It's a big deal. We pray strength for Joe, blessings on him, restoration. Thank you, Father, for the promise in your word. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will run after me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for your promises and your word. We thank you that your name is faithful and true. We pray for the tournament, God, that's coming up here in DuQuoin. God, we pray wisdom for those that are running it. We pray grace and strength for Adam Emling. And Lord, we ask your mercy, your wisdom, your protection on that tournament. Father, the only help for our nation is in you. And Father, we come as your people today, and we ask for mercy on our nation. We pray wisdom for our leaders in Jesus' name. Lord, a house divided itself will not stand. Lord, I pray that there would be a great turning to you in our nation, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the promise of your word, Lord, that where a great sin abounds, much greater grace abounds. And Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask mercy. We ask mercy on our land. We ask mercy, God, with the rampant sickness in our land. Only you, God, only you can change and help us. And Lord, we come and we ask for mercy. We thank you that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their cry. I thank you, Lord, that your name is faithful and true. We're going to sing about your name soon. And Lord, I thank you that your name denotes your character. You're faithful. You're true. You are trustworthy. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the one who rules and reigns. And we praise you and we honor you. And we pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. scripture this morning. This is definitely part two of this sermon. We kind of entered in the back door last week of Revelation chapter 12. And Revelation chapter 12, it is a really interesting retelling of the, not only is it the birth of Jesus, but we have the birth and the cross and the resurrection and the reigning of Christ in 17 verses. It's an absolutely packed scripture. And I'm not going to be able to cover everything that that passage is about today, but it's very much like Handel's work, Messiah. And we know, if anybody knows anything about Handel's Messiah, we know the Hallelujah chorus, right? And it's really interesting that we tend to listen to that during Christmas. But that really is all about Easter and what Jesus came to do in his rule and his reign, and then that getting worked out in our lives. And I feel like Revelation 12 really illustrates that. You cannot have Christmas. We can't celebrate what we just celebrated. It would mean nothing if Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins and be raised from the dead. And so it's all intimately tied together. We tend to separate all of that out, but it's intimately tied together. There's an absolutely profound message in Revelation 12, and I'm completely inadequate to be able to convey everything that's there. But we're going to jump in. And I love adventure stories. One of the things that was fun during Christmas, they ran the Indiana Jones movies and was able to watch Indiana Jones and the which is it, The Last Crusade. And I just love that movie. And I love adventure novels, adventure movies. They're like my favorite. I just love them. And this is like the ultimate docudrama of all time. This is like the epic story. And this is like being dropped in to this amazing story. It's some of the best storytelling I've ever read here in Revelation 12. And so we're going to jump into that. If you weren't here last week and you want to do my best to make this stand on its own, but last week, again, really kind of gave a background to this. So if you missed that, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to it. But Father, this is your word, and it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would anoint me, that you would give me the words to say, to fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. I pray for courage. I pray for boldness. And Lord, we don't want to just sit here with our pen and paper and notebook and just start taking notes, as good as that is. And I hope y'all do that. But Lord, we need an encounter. We need you. I pray that we would encounter the one that this reveals. And the church at Laodicea, Lord, you said, I counsel you to buy from me eye salve that you may see. And Lord, we come this morning and we need eye salve. We need you to open our eyes, to cleanse our eyes, to medicate our eyes, God, that we may see you rightly, that we may see the beauty of who you are, just the gloriousness of your word and what Revelation 12 unveils about you, Jesus, and what it unveils about us. What's the practical implication of it? Anoint me and back me up, King of Glory. Come, and may we encounter you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've debated on reading this or not, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed are those who read this prophecy aloud, and blessed are those who hear. And this is written in language that, in images that we're not familiar with. And if you need incentive, if you ever, you know, do those Bible reading plans where you read through the Bible in a year, most of us get stuck in Exodus, Leviticus. We tend to get stuck in the law and in all of it. All of it makes sense in the book of Revelation. And all of, because there's so many images, Old Testament images, and we don't understand Revelation because we don't understand our Old Testament. And so hang in here with me, and what is the point of this? What are the practical implications of this? Revelation chapter 12. And a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Let's stop right there. That is an image of Mary. That is an image of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But it's also an image of, look at how she's described. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. The image here is taken straight out of Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, you have Joseph. And he's the son of Jacob, or Israel. And Joseph has these dreams. And it offends his brothers. And it offends them so much that they end up throwing him into a pit and selling him into slavery. But he has two different dreams. The second of his dream, flip over if you'd like to Genesis chapter 37. Because this image is not one that's just, kind of half-cocked. This is an image straight out of... He has a dream. I'm in Genesis chapter 37. Then he dreamed another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I've dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me." Joseph and his brothers, Joseph, his 12 brothers, here's 11 stars, and it's a prophecy of what's going to happen with Joseph. His brothers are so jealous, they throw him in a pit. Joseph has a really tough life and gets thrown in prison unjustly, waits in prison, he's forgotten, and yet God raises up Joseph because there's a famine in the land, and all the people of the world come to Egypt to get the food that Joseph has been stocking up. And it's the dream was a prophecy of his 11 brothers coming to him to receive food and help. And his, you know who his 12 brothers are? He and his 12 brothers, they are the Isaac, Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we have this woman here in Revelation 12 that's reckoning back here to this dream, because Joseph's dream was that all the people were going to come. It's the birth of the Hebrew people, the nation of Israel. And here we have in Revelation 12 this woman who, yes, it's Mary, but it's also the symbol of Israel itself and her sufferings, and what God was going to bring forth through the nation of Israel was a Messiah that's going to be born. So we have this image, sign number one, this woman pregnant, crying out in birth pains, and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. This dragon, where else do you remember? We're going to hear more about this dragon in a minute. Where else in the Bible do we have a serpent? We have a serpent in Genesis chapter 3. It says he was more crafty. He deceives the woman, and it's the serpent, the devil. He deceives them. Adam and Eve, they fall, and God closes out. They had intimate relationship, and God said, don't eat from that tree, because if you eat of it, surely you will die. And Adam and Eve, they ate. They were deceived by the serpent. They ate what they shouldn't have eaten, and they didn't immediately drop dead, but their relationship with God, there was a separation, and that relationship died. And so we have the Messiah, this woman, giving birth to a son. I wonder who that son is. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And so, and I talked last week, you have this epic story right here of the whole of Jesus' life. And the serpent, Satan, wants to take Jesus out. And you see that in Matthew when Herod kills all the babies. And he tries to kill Jesus right at the very beginning. But God warns his father Joseph in a dream, and they go. And yet this dragon is there, and he wants to kill the son. He wants to kill him. He might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations. with a rod of iron, but her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Verse 7, we get, again, Revelation does this. It unveils. It gives us the backstory. It gives us, like, the spiritual battle behind world events. And so we see kind of what happened in the heavenlies. War arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. In Luke chapter 10, there's a very fascinating scripture. Jesus sends out 72 people to cast out demons and heal the sick in Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And what we see here in Revelation 12, in talking about the dragon, the serpent, and his angels falling, Jesus saw all that before he came to earth. He saw all of that. And yet, when he came and he died, there was an element of that Satan was cast down, but there was still rule and reign. There was still death. There was still sin in the world. Verse 9. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. I'm not today going to talk a lot about that. I've talked a lot, I feel like, in the last year and a half about Satan, about his name, that he's the accuser, that he's the deceiver. I've talked at length about Genesis chapter 3 and how he tempted Adam and he tempted Eve, tried to get them to, they twisted the truth, and we see that in the temptations that I talked about last week in Luke chapter 4, where Satan comes and he tempts Jesus. He's always twisting the truth. He's the father of lies. He's the deceiver. He's the accuser. And he slanders God to us. He slanders other people to us. He slanders us. I've talked a lot about that. And that's who he is. That's what he does. He was thrown down, and his angels were thrown down with him. And this is the worship. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. This accuser, this slanderer, has been thrown down. My dad is a wrestler. He is in the Illinois and the National Hall of Fame as a wrestling referee. He loves wrestling. He just, it's kind of like his bread and butter. Like, he just loves it. And I grew up around, my brother was a wrestler. My cousin Shayna was the first female wrestler in Mount Vernon. And so it was just kind of all around me wrestling. And so when I see thrown down, y'all, that is a great wrestling term. And when wrestlers, you watch WWE, you know, and they're throwing each other down, like, this is what this is. This is a fighting language, and this is thrown down, and this is getting pinned, and you can't get up. And four different times, he's thrown down. Satan is thrown down. He's thrown down. There's an element of victory in all of that. And that is an image of what happened. This one who was born, who came forth from the nation of Israel, from a virgin, he came and he lived that perfect sinful life. And Satan seeks to deceive us, tends to take us out. He hates us. We're going to look at that in a minute. And what happens? He's been thrown down. Verse 11, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of the great eagle, shoot me, fly from the serpent into the wilderness. Verse 15, the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from its mouth. All of that is apocalyptic language of the enemy, Satan, the deceiver, the great snake, the dragon, trying to destroy the ministry of Jesus, trying to keep him from going to the cross, trying to tempt him into sin. And yet the devil couldn't conquer Jesus. He couldn't do it. He couldn't keep the plan of God from coming forth. I talked about that last week, how he tried, and yet Jesus was obedient. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to go. He was tempted. He could have not gone, but he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And he died on the cross, and he was raised from the dead. And so when the enemy could not take Jesus out, did he just say, okay, forget it, I'm done, I'm just going to sit back here and do nothing? Is that what's going on? No. When the enemy couldn't take out Jesus, what did he turn to? Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. One of the things that the book of Revelation does is it kind of pulls back the curtain so we can see the demonic behind institutions, behind governments, behind the wickedness in the world. When I preached a year and a half ago on Revelation, I told you that one of the points of the book of Revelation is to scare the hell out of us, to literally scare it out so we know what's going on and so we fix our eyes on Jesus, because we have an enemy who seeks to take us out. He wants to deceive us. He wants us to be weak and pitiful and just kind of floundering and become hopeless and become depressed and just kind of, you know, kind of walk around like this. Oh, things are so bad. Oh, and just be hopeless and depressed. And yet, what's the hope in this passage? The hope of this passage is the enemy has been thrown down. That he does, Jesus, rule and he reigns. Satan has been defeated. And it says in verse 11 that we overcome that great dragon. We overcome the tempter. We overcome him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, the last great plague of Egypt, there have been a lot of things. Let my people go. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart. The very last plague was to kill all the firstborn. And God told through Moses, the Hebrew children, he said, you take a lamb, a pure, spotless lamb, and you take the blood of that lamb, and you place it over the lintel, and that the spirit of death is going to pass over you, and you celebrate this from time immemorial. This is a memorial for you. Celebrate this and remember. And that night, the spirit of death came, and it killed all the firstborn of all of the people of Egypt, except those that have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. And you come to Luke chapter 24, and Jesus says to his disciples, he said, I've eagerly anticipated celebrating this Passover with you. Why is that? Why is that? Such a beautiful, intimate thing that Jesus wanted to do. And that very night, they celebrated the Passover. The celebration that had been instituted in Exodus chapter 12. And Jesus says to his disciples, his inner circle that night, as he takes the bread that they would use to celebrate the Passover, and he says, this is my body which is broken for you. And they took the cup, and he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. What is Jesus doing in all of that? He's saying, I am that pure, spotless lamb. He is the lamb. And while we see in our nation and the world right now what is going on, I wish I could come here and tell you this morning prophetically that it's all going to get better, that things are going to be rosy and be back to normal. But y'all, I don't think that's going to happen. The enemy's loose, and he knows his time is short, and he wants to get us depressed and get us all in anxiety and fear and all of that. And what do we need to do in this time? Why in the world am I preaching on this passage of Scripture? Tried to take Jesus out, and he was thrown down. He was pinned to the mat, and he could not get up. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God tells that serpent, he said, serpent, the seed of the woman is going to come, and there's going to be hatred. You're going to hate the seed of that woman, but the seed of the woman, you are going to try to kill him. You're going to crush his heel. But serpent, the seed of the woman, he's going to crush your head. And that happened when Jesus Christ was died on the cross for our sins. The blood of the new covenant. The blood of goats and bulls that was in the Old Testament, that doesn't forgive us of our sins. That doesn't change our wicked hearts. But the blood of Jesus Christ does. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us life. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us forgiveness. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. And all of the book of Revelation, with all of the scary things that's in it, what do we keep having interludes of all throughout the entire book? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Look at what the Lamb has done. And it's all coming back and pointing to Jesus, pointing to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb. Look at him. Worthy is him. Remember more than we've ever needed to remember it before. The Lamb of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's defeated the enemy. We overcome. That word there, overcome, means to prevail against. It means to conquer. We don't fight the devil on our own strength. We don't do that. It's not in striving. It's not in working harder. It's not in being a good person. It's through the blood of the Lamb. Receiving everything that Jesus died to give us through his blood, through his death, through his resurrection. What the law was not able to do, the law doesn't make us better. The law just makes, oh my God, I can't fulfill it. I am a sinful person. I can't do this. The law says, yeah, you can't. But Jesus came to fulfill the righteous requirements of the law so that we can live a holy, perfect life, because it's not us doing it. It's Jesus living in us and through us. Jesus' blood speaks better than the blood in the Old Testament of the bulls and goats. He offered the eternal sacrifice once and for all. We overcome, we prevail against the enemy through the blood. Word of our testimony. It's not enough that Jesus did it. It's done. It's finished. But we have to believe it. We have to own it. We have to receive it. It's there. It's done. But we're not universalists. Yes, Jesus died. Yes, there's forgiveness of sins. But we have to say, yes, Jesus, I want it. Yes, Jesus, come in. We must be born again. We must take it in. The word of our testimony. The one thing the enemy's going to do is he's going to come and say, God doesn't love you. The blood of Jesus says, yes, he does. He died for you. Oh, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. The blood of Jesus says, yes, you are. He died on the cross because he wants that relationship with you. The blood of Jesus, the word of our testimony, owning it, receiving it, speaking it out of our mouths. There's not one person in this room that hasn't dealt with fear and anxiety. Not one. When the enemy comes, what do we need to do? We need to speak. Christian is not just coming to church. Being a Christian is not being a good person. Being a Christian is following Jesus, surrendering 100% to him. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And that is, I've told you this before, but we need to keep hearing it because of the fear and the intimidation that's coming against us right now. Against, and who is? Who's behind that? It's the enemy. It's the enemy. It's Satan. It's the dragon. It's the great serpent. If he can get us huddled in a corner, never leaving our house, watching TV, the news, all day long, and we're terrified, when we start hating people, when we start labeling people, y'all, that's not God. That's not God. That's the enemy behind that. Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That is a church that has her eyes fixed on Jesus, that receives forgiveness of sins, that knows that they are loved, and receives everything that Jesus died to give us, that isn't huddled in fear, but that's filled with courage, that's filled with love, that see the people around them, not as a label, not as, you name it. I'm so sad what's happening in our culture right now. Y'all, they're dividing us, getting us to hate one another and name call each other. That's from the slanderer. That's what Satan does. That's what the enemy does. All of us are made in the image of God. All of us. President Biden is made in the image of God. Nancy Pelosi is made in the image of God. All of them. All of them. Vaxxed, unvaxxed, we're all made in the image of God. He loves us. He loves us. His blood was poured out for us. Some of us this morning just need to remember that our sins really are forgiven. We live in condemnation. We live in guilt. We live in shame. And the blood of Jesus Christ says that he loves you. The blood of Jesus Christ said he sees you. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives us. And you all, the blood of Jesus Christ heals us. There's healing in it. It's healing of our minds. It's healing of our bodies. It's healing of our soul. I have had more issues this week with lymphedema than I've had in a long, long, long time. And it makes me mad. Makes me angry. And all of us have people that we prayed for healing that haven't been healed yet. All of us have been there. But I'm going to keep going after it and praying for myself and praying for you, because the blood of the Lamb has secured our healing. The blood of the Lamb has paid it all. We overcome the devil. We overcome sin. He's the healer. We overcome. We prevail against by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, and not loving our lives unto death. We just need to believe it. We need to receive it. What's your testimony? Why are you speaking out of your mouth? There's power in what we say. I don't know why some people are here. world's going to hell. Things are hopeless. And just he's shooting these vile arrows all the time. But we take up our shield of faith, which extinguishes all those flaming arrows of the evil one. Put on your helmet of salvation. Y'all, we're wearing a victory helmet. The enemy has been thrown down. We are saved. We are bought. We are sealed with his love. We are sealed with his Holy Spirit. And take up the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. We need to be men and women of the word that speak out the word, that stand on the word, and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. The enemy's been thrown down. He's filled with wrath because he knows his time is short. But they prevailed against him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and not loving their lives unto death. Father, we come. In the name of Jesus, we come. Lord, I could spend hours talking about the blood. But Lord, there's a revelation that we need by your Spirit of what it means that you are the Passover Lamb, that you are the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. This isn't a joke. We're living in very serious times. And we're seeing evil all around us. We're seeing a nation, Lord, that's being divided, where hatred is spreading and division. And Lord, that's not you. Lord, your word says, Jesus, you said it, that in the last days the love of the most will grow cold. And Lord, we're seeing that happen right now in real time. And so Lord, we come to you and we thank you for your blood. Your blood that forgives. Your blood that heals. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room, Lord, that really struggle with sin. Habitual sin. And Lord, you know what those things are. And we thank you, God, for that you can break the cycle of sin in our lives through the power of your Holy Spirit and the power of your blood. And so, Lord, we invite you into those places of our heart, Lord, that are divided, that are impure, where we've allowed sin, grievous sin of rebellion and hostility towards you that separate us from you. Lord, we come now and we ask you to forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our rebellion. Forgive us, God, for turning away. Forgive us of our hatred, Lord, of our brothers and sisters. Forgive us, God, where there's unforgiveness in our hearts. Forgive us, Father. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive us. And Father, where we have chronic diseases, things, Lord, that have hindered us, autoimmune diseases, mental illness, addictions, chronic inflammation, all of our chronic diseases, Lord, the people that are here, the people that are listening that have cancer, Lord, I thank you that you're a healer. By our stripes, it says in your word, we are healed. All of the punishment that was due us, all of our sin and all of our diseases were put on the cross with you. And so, Lord, we just say, come today, today, God, and heal us. Where we need healing in our bodies, where we need healing in our emotions, where we need healing in our minds, we need healing in our spirits. Lord, truly, make these elements today the body and blood of Jesus and make us holy. We thank you and we honor you. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, God. led your people from far places to his light. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Say it with me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that way we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Father, we thank you for your life. We thank you, God, that we don't have to be hopeless and sulking in despair. We thank you for abundant life that you died to give us. And Lord, we receive your life now as we remember your body broken. And we receive it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your blood, the blood that heals, the blood that forgives. And Lord, we thank you that we overcome, we prevail against the enemy, not by striving, not by praying more, not by our good works, but it's through the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for the blood. Everything the blood died to just was poured out for healing, for forgiveness, for redemption, for life. God, we just receive that by faith in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Let's stand and sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Let's stand in hope as we sing this hymn.